Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. I'm sure the ladies will be along any moment, but while I have a minute to babble, if you have not seen Safe on Netflix, I highly recommend it. It's really good. It is a series based on a novel by, Harlan Coben. Netflix has adapted a couple shows by books they have on Netflix, and that one was really good. So, I recommend it. In the meantime, let's say hello to my co-host. Good evening.
Hi, AJ. Good evening. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I tuned in a minute late. What show were you talking about?
Safe on Netflix.
Safe?
Safe. It's called Safe. Like, S-A-F-E. Safe.
Like the umpire says, Safe.
Yes.
I've never heard of it.
It's really good. Really good. Like, after I finish watching the second, like, when I go to lunch, sometimes I have nothing to do when I'm on my lunch break at work. So I try and find stuff to watch. And, you know, plus even when I'm home, I have nothing to watch anymore because I've watched everything. So I was watching that. And then I said to Alyssa, because she'd already finished it, I was like, I'm binging the hell out of this thing tonight. I watched 6 episodes straight through because I just couldn't make it. It was that good. So, yeah, it's got, what's his name? I just had his name, and I know I'm drawing a blank. The actor that plays Dexter, he's in it. He's starring in it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's British.
Oh.
So you know it's
good. I'll have to put on the list.
Yeah, I guess Netflix has adapted four or five books by Harlan Coben. And there's a couple more, actually, on Netflix, but that one was really good. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, what's the name of it? I heard what you were saying, but not what show it was about.
Safe.
Is that the one? Is that one a kid's taken? I think I see a preview of it.
I don't know if taken is the right word, but it involves kids, yes.
But it is, okay, then I've seen a preview. It did look good.
Like teenagers.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't want to know. But I just meant I wondered if that was one I seen a preview of, because I know, as you said, the guy from Dexter was in it. That's all I remember. All right.
Okay, so
anyway,
I'll put that on the list of things to check out. And I guess we have an extra show to add in tonight, so I guess we better jump into it.
Yes, we do.
An extra
Jamie,
show, did I miss something else, stupidly?
The Expanse. AJ and I.
Yeah,
oh,
the
Expanse.
Tonight.
I
tend to
watch it right away anyway, so.
All right. But, Jamie, you said you didn't get a chance to watch Next this week?
No, I was thinking I did because I thought I watched one ahead last time, but I didn't.
I almost stayed on time,
and then I forgot about it.
I should have said something because I was watching it yesterday, and I almost texted you because I was like, oh, Jamie is going to, like, love this episode. The one thing you've been waiting for happened in this episode.
The one thing I've been waiting for. Explaining about her being... I kind of wondered the way it was going.
Well,
I'm like, well, now we know why that happened.
They didn't explain it, but there's another flashback. And I was like, oh, they returned to the flashbacks. Jamie will be so happy.
Yeah, finally.
They returned
to
this.
What, episode 9? They had both episodes on... Oh, no, that's tonight. That must be up to date. Because tonight, I think
tonight's
it's the finale.
Yeah.
They have on 9 and 10, yeah. Yeah, I do understand. I just was thinking I watched ahead. And I think the reason I got confused, too, is since I wasn't here last week, I didn't talk about the most recent episode. I think that's why I got partially confused.
All right.
I did watch Big Sky. Well, actually, you guys already talked about Big Sky then.
No.
We didn't talk
about the latest episode of Big Sky. The mid-season finale of Big Sky was on, like, when is
it
on?
Yeah, because I think
night?
It was last week, wasn't it? I think it was last week.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think it airs...
It airs while
Honestly,
we're on the podcast.
It airs, like, right now.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's why.
I was going to say, my day is just doing stuff, getting ready for the holidays. I keep mixing up what day it is. I think I'm getting old. So I'm like, maybe it was last week. No. But, yeah, well, good. You didn't talk about it yet, then, so I get to talk about it.
Yeah. So, mid-season finale, yeah. So, how about it, guys? What is? I just watched it, like, right before this. So, you guys go first.
Why don't I go this time? I was going to say, I'll go.
Okay.
I feel like after thinking about the show, like, going back and thinking about it, I feel like this is kind of one of those shows that's, like, I don't want to say necessarily guilty pleasure, but, like, you watch it because it's, like, crazy, but, like, we complain all the time that the writing's kind of bad, and, like, you kind of know what's going to happen. It's not real surprising, but yet, to me at least, I still enjoy watching it. It's even though it's, like, kind of got that over-the-top, you know, thing going on about it. I was happy that they finally found the girls because at least they'll move on to something else. I am glad because I don't know. I don't want to say I didn't expect it to, but usually shows don't do it where I was glad that Cassie did shoot. Unless, of course, they did something like where somebody walks up behind her and shoots or walks up behind him. That hasn't been known to happen in shows. But I'm glad if they're kind of moving on from that story, see what else is going on. Maybe it'll get more, a little bit more twist to it, maybe. I kind of am interested more. I think that Ronald became more interested this week because he's kind of plotting and, like, he's, you know, trying to take out his Ligarski's. I'm like, I just said his name 2 seconds ago. Yeah, his wife, and like, he's kind of doing it like he's not necessarily saying it to piss him off, but yet he's kind of doing it to piss him off, even though he doesn't know it's him. And I don't know. I just find that funny that he has something up on him. I wasn't really surprised, though, that he did not bash his wife's head in. But I don't know. Like I said, I think that this is a show. It's, like, definitely over the top, but I still like watching it, and I like where it's going. I am curious, though, where the hell now the show's going if he is dead. I'm assuming he's dead. I guess it's possible he could not be, but I'm going to assume he is. Yeah, well, yeah, I know, but with the show. Oh, that's right. They did show him actually get shot, didn't they? I was thinking they didn't show him get shot.
He got shot in the head.
They showed him get shot.
Pretty much
yeah, he's dead.
Yeah.
I forgot they showed that. Okay, he's dead. So at least somebody did something smart for once. I mean, we complain about there's been such bad police work. But I'm kind of, like, wondering where the show is going to go now if he's not in it, unless he's going to be in flashbacks. I guess that's possible, too. But, I mean, he was, even though he was, you know, purposely over the top, I really liked him. I think that guy's a good actor, at John Carroll Lynch. And I'm just kind of curious, like, where the show's going. Is it going to continue with the storyline of the trafficking to some extent? Is it going to be, like, a buddy cop show? I mean, I'm just not sure. And I think where it goes is going to depend, you know, going to determine if it continues to be good. But yeah, I want to see what happens. And that was definitely, like, one of those cliffhanger-y moments, even though you knew what happened, where you're kind of like, you're ending it now type of thing, yelling at the TV. But yeah, I thought it was in a way kind of cool where he, when Ronald, especially when he dumped the cereal on his mother's head, that was cool. But then, like, surprising, like when he started choking her and she's, you know, she's actually catching on to it and stuff, he's creepy, but yet he also feels bad for what he did. I mean, I think he's obviously let himself be blinded to what happens to the girls because, yeah, he didn't make them tell him what happens, but he's not so stupid that he actually thinks they're going to a better place, you know. But, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was a pretty good episode and a good mid-season finale, even if it has its kind of crazy writing at times. But what did you guys think?
AJ?
Well, I started the night by – all right, let's get Big Sky over with so we can move on to Dark Materials. And 30 seconds in, I was kind of optimistic because I realized that Jennifer Lynch directed the episode. So I was like, ooh, this might be good. So, and it was a pretty good episode. I mean, honestly, maybe, I don't know, maybe we watched too much TV. I'm so tired of TV
maybe.
Shows.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, well, I'm always
shows.
Like, this is so predictable and over the top. You're right. Maybe it's just we watch things so much.
You know when they get there, the girls are going to be gone already. They completely clean up. But here's my problem. There are no time logistics in this show. And I realize Nobody wants to see somebody driving from point A to point B for 2 hours. But at the same time, there is no semblance of any type of logistics. I mean, they took the girls out and completely cleaned that container in like no time at all. I mean, if they were, you know, if you're looking at, I don't know. I mean, yes, they, I mean, you figure, you know, it takes time to get from one place to the other. But how, I mean, the container looked like nobody was ever in it. Ever.
Yeah.
That's
in,
what
like,
bothered me
years.
A little. Like, yeah.
And I just, you know, you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to, you know, and I'm like, they've got to find the girls this episode because this is the, you know, this is the mid-break finale or whatever you want to call it. And plus, they're like, they're moving on, the girls on to the next stage of the trafficking. So they have to find them now or they're pretty much done for. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But that really, really annoyed me. And then Cassie, I'm yelling at Cassie at the end of the episode. I'm like, just shoot him already. Shoot him. Do not let him get his gun. Do not let him draw his gun. She let him draw his gun. I'm like, you better shoot him now before he shoots you. I'm like,
yeah, that's a little
shoot
back and forth.
Him. Like, I'm, and the whole time in the back of my head, I'm like, Ronald is going to come up behind her and hit her in the head with something. I'm like, I'm thinking that the whole time that Ronald is coming up behind her. And you know what
I think
is funny is Legursky tries to convince Cassie that the girl, that he's there to save the girls, and they can hear everything she says, and she's going to make I'm like, she knows, like, dude, do you really think this is going to work? She knows you took them. Ronald, I think Ronald is actually going to get very interesting because with Legursky dead, does anybody else know that Ronald is even involved? I mean, obviously his mother figured it out, but his mother's batshit. But does anybody else, like whoever Legursky answers to, do they know that Ronald is his guy, or are they just like, you deal with your stuff and you just get us the girl? Like if Legursky is the middleman and the only one anybody deals with, Ronald might get away with this. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out with him, especially with his mother. And like I can see Danielle like going to the store and happen to see Ronald and be like, oh my God, that's him, you know, type of thing. And speaking of Danielle, I've enjoyed her evolution through the show. I mean, she first started out as a snotty, bratty, privileged white girl. And she's kind of through this experience, she's kind of getting it. Like that scene with her and Ronald, I really appreciated. I thought it was kind of nice to see her. Even Grace was kind of like, what are you doing? So that was kind of, and it was, I thought it was kind of funny that Ronald held the door for Cassie when she went to see Legursky's wife. There's one other thing that I was going to say. And as far as to answer Jamie's question on where I think the show is going to go next, I had a moment where I felt like I was watching The Following. Pretty sure that Legursky's captain is involved. Because the look she gives Cassie leaves the station, that look she gives her, I feel like she's involved. She's totally involved. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if all the sheriffs are involved.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, they got to stick up for the other cops. Well, she's got to stick up for the other women. Jeez.
Yeah. So what about you, Karen?
So, it's funny. Well, Jimmy was talking about how this is a show that, like, you hate and it's terrible, and yet you really – you didn't say that. But, you, like, despite the show's flaws, you still enjoy watching it. And that made me feel like – I'm like, this is a show that, like – I think it's kind of bad and I don't love, and yet I really enjoy watching it.
That's exactly what I mean.
And I was thinking, it's like when you're dating a person who who's not really good for you, and you don't even really it's not going anywhere, but you still just like are having fun dating them and you want to like going out with them, even though you know they're totally like, you know, whatever.
Analogy,
I don't know
Karen.
If I describe it like that, but you're right.
No,
but yeah, that's what I mean.
That's a really good analogy, especially since all the women on the show are hot.
Yeah, and all the guys are stupid and do nothing.
It's like
real life.
No,
this is
bad cops.
This relationship
no,
is going nowhere, and it's really not making me better. It's not good for me, but I have nothing else to do, and I'm having a good time, and there's a pandemic, so okay. I'm all in.
Yeah,
pandemic
it's
that we
kind
never
of a fun
see on the show.
That's the other thing I want to comment too. I'm starting to wonder, and I don't want to get into what I've seen, but some of the shows that I've seen ahead, you know, things coming up. I'm kind of wondering if, which thinking about it kind of maybe makes sense a little bit. I'm wondering if the shows are more treating them like the pandemic happened, but it's over. I mean, this show was a little vague, but after watching another show, it makes me think that maybe it's like more saying this is what happened, not that it's going on right now, which if that's the case, I can kind of be okay with that because it's like not hiding the fact it happened, but I don't know. When I first started watching this, I felt like it was supposed to be going on concurrently, and that annoyed me, but I'm wondering if a lot of the shows are kind of doing that because they don't want to have more masks the whole time, but they don't want to ignore it either, so... Yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to comment on that because of another show I saw.
I think for the most part, I think TV shows, because TV is escape from reality. So I think for the most part, I think most TV shows and movies need to just ignore it and not mention it. Like the fact that they mention it and then you see nothing about it, I think I don't understand the point of it, especially since this book is written, you know, before the pandemic.
But they've mentioned it more than once. That makes it worse.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. You know, like there are shows out there that are doing the pandemic and wearing masks and doing it the right way, like the NBC comedy Superstore that, you know, wearing masks. But it's also realistic and they do it in a way like, you know, they're wearing masks out in public, but behind closed doors with their, you know, coworkers and stuff, everybody's taking their masks off, so it's very realistic to what's happening in real life, you know? They acknowledge it and it works. But you can't have a show like this and mention it and not even show anything. I mean, it might even be worse if they did show it and have, you know, the scenes with them trying to talk through masks and have us go, what'd they say? So don't mention it at all. There's no reason to.
Right. Like I said, I think if they had mentioned at the beginning and then dropped it, it wouldn't have been so bad, but they've mentioned it more than once, which I think makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I felt about this episode. I mean, so the continued discrediting of the two main characters by every, like, man or authority figure they meet. I mean, it's been all men until now. Until this episode, it's been all men who won't listen to them, right? And the continued, like, not listening to them, I think because they're women, I think because, I mean, the idea, like, there's so much scorn seems to be heaped upon Cassie because she didn't complete the police academy, which surprises me a little bit. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that, like, I mean, I don't know how cops act towards people they didn't, whatever, but like, they're positioning it as a small town, which is kind of not, but they're positioning Helena as a small town and that they all know each other and they know this sheriff. And, like, I think that this sheriff would know if this, like, it's not their first case. They've had a private detective agency in his town for, I mean, a long time, I think, right?
If he's that weird, he would have weirded other people out at some point.
I mean,
they all know what's going on.
Maybe I watched too much Magnum P.I. where the cop... Do you guys watch the new Magnum P.I. where the cop is, like, totally, like... He's totally friends with Magnum, and, like, he's always like, oh, you, breaking the laws, but they always, like, pull together in the end. I just feel like there's so much... I don't know. I guess that's something we'll find out in the back half of the season, why she dropped... Like, they made a big deal this episode about why she dropped out of the academy, and she doesn't want to talk about it, and... Like, sometimes I feel like it's racism. Sometimes I feel like it's sexism. Then tonight, when she wouldn't pull the trigger, felt like maybe she shot someone and she, like, has never gotten over it. Or
I thought maybe it had
she...
to do with her husband getting killed in the war, too.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I thought might be
in,
part
like,
of
Afghanistan
it.
Or Iraq or something. You're right.
Yeah.
I mean, I recognize that this guy was sort of... I didn't really buy that Legarski could get over under Cassie's skin at the last second like that. Like... He was saying some things that were kind of true. We've talked about the idea that he could show up and say he rescued them and throw Ronald under the bus, right? That he showed himself to the girls. The girls can't live because he showed himself to the girls. And they would immediately be like, no, he's totally in on it. He shot me with an arrow twice.
Well, if he was innocent, he would let the girls tell her that, too. I mean, they were still tied up,
yeah.
And they're, like, making noise, like, yelling. I mean, it's kind of obvious, so.
Well, that's a good point. He'd be like, let me take the duct tape off their mouth, and they'll tell you. I think maybe Ligursky was overconfident that he was going to kill Cassie before it was over and it would never come out.
Yeah, that's
true.
And
he just buried her in a ditch with Cole. But, like, she was very hesitant, and yet she counted to four and then shot him. So I'm glad he's dead because, like, there's a degree to which I feel like Ligursky and Ronald as characters, I don't know where they can go because they're such, as AJ says, they're tropish characters, right? Like, they're so crazy and barely keeping it together. Like, Ligursky, like, almost, like, he fantasizes about killing his wife with a hammer in the early part of the episode. He's so at the edge that there's no way he can go anywhere except as this complete villainous, like, and he's all out. Like there's nothing unknown about him. So I think killing him was the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like maybe this show, I mean, I continue to feel like I can't believe these two bozos were part of this, like, ring for this long without getting caught because they just seem so insane, both of them. I think, I had something else that bothered me about this episode. Some of the best scenes, I think, have been the three girls locked up together. And I wonder where it's going now that they're rescued. Like, are they off the show now, these three girls? Like, they live far away, right? Or, like, okay, Jerry was working a local truck stop, but the two girls had driven, like, 1,200 miles, right? So do the girls just, like, go home and they're off the show from now on?
Don't forget they were going to stay with
the boyfriend,
with Jenny and
the boyfriend
for a while. So
and now we finally saw the parents in town this morning today for the first time.
I know that was good. What I was going to mention, they finally showed up and cared a little bit, not much.
But I would think the parents would take them home and place them into heavy therapy for the next several years.
Yeah, not let them out of their sight for a while.
Yeah, I'm really not sure.
I'm not sure how they remain part of the show. You know, to Jamie's point, in this episode, I started to think, one second, that maybe this five episodes arc was the intro, and now it becomes a buddy cop show. Now it becomes a private detective procedural. Now it becomes Magnum PI, kind of.
Well, I think the one way I can see that all three of them stay in on this is if they go, you know, they say, tell Cassie and Jenny, listen, you know, we want to help in some way.
There's
another
guy.
Like, there's first of all, there's another guy. Second of all, this is a huge trafficking ring, you know. Like, this, you know, you saved us, thank you, but this isn't over. We can't just, you know, we know there's other women out there. So I can kind of see where they are somewhat involved, but, you know, kind of thing. Like, and they get themselves in trouble and get captured again. I mean,
like, they're
going to
help. It seems like, not for nothing,
not for nothing. They could get kidnapped again by somebody else in the ring.
right.
I guess my point is not that we don't know that they're going to investigate it. I think my point more is, like, is it going to focus on that story or is it going to focus on the two women? I guess is what I'm kind of curious how they're going to do it, because so much of a big part of it was Ligursky. Like, is there going to be another big bad, or is Ronald going to become that? Like, some of, I don't know, just kind of like the connections. Like, I'm just curious to see how that dynamic shifts,
well,
I guess.
It's something that Jenny has been kind of investigating for a while, you know, the disappearance of all these women, you know. So it's something that was going on beforehand, and now because of these kidnappings and the connection, I can't see Cassie and Jenny just being like, okay, we got the girls back, we're done.
Yeah, and
so,
I guess apparently, when I was reading this, I was reading it at AV Club, I guess the lines of them putting in now about saying that indigenous women have gone missing, that was added after the fact.
Yeah,
so,
that's a real, because there was so much criticism.
Yeah.
Of the show where there's like an epidemic of indigenous women going missing in Montana, and they had these two white college girls. I think that this show, where the show goes, I mean, there's still a lot of things I mean, it could go full soap opera also. Like, do we follow Meryl Lee as she deals with the fact that her husband, you know, was a, you
know,
a human trafficker? I hope not, too. And there's the whole bit about, like, I think we have a big thread still to go with Ronald, right? Like,
yeah.
The girl,
oh, absolutely.
Ronald was the actual kidnapper. Like, Ronald is the one who actually kidnapped. I mean, yeah, they're in it together and both guilty. But, there's this whole part of, like, trying to catch Ronald. So that's an interesting idea. Like, do the girls stay in the show because they're somehow involved and they're the eyewitnesses? And how do they find Ronald? We don't really know where Ronald lives, if he lives in the same town. So there could be a big thread going on of, like, Ronald, like, does he get caught? And we have seen, like, Ronald said, I have a plan. If anything happens to me, Ligarski, like, it's going to point to you. And Ligarski has kind of said, like, remember, I know everything about you. Like, has Ligarski left clues? Like there's all of
blame
that,
each
right?
other.
So
yeah.
Does that become the story, or does that become, like, a low-level simmering thing while Jenny and Cassie do the mystery of the week kind of thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if there's enough.
I feel like there's going to be a time jump, too.
That's also possible.
Possible. I don't think there's enough with the Ronald story to sustain it beyond the another. So they got renewed for an extra 6, right? So there's 5 more to go, and then
yeah.
they got 6. So now there's 11 episodes. I don't know if, like, trying to find Ronald is an 11-episode story.
No, I can
remaining.
See it in the first 5, maybe. But,
yeah.
Well, I could see trying to find Ronald running parallel with whatever else they're doing.
Yeah, that would work,
yeah.
too.
You know.
People
yeah, run Ronald parallel with, like, them. Like, maybe now they've solved this. Maybe they get, like, some big local notoriety. And, like, if you need a private detective, you're going to hire the person who, like, found these girls.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
everyone was against them. And you know, there is the bit about, like, you know, AJ, interesting that you think that the boss, state trooper, that woman could be involved in it. It's a big ring. So there's that also. And, I mean, they surely are going to do something with this trucker church that was introduced and then nothing.
Oh,
like, they have to.
Yeah,
that
they
was
have
the,
to.
Otherwise, it was the dumbest thing ever, right? Like,
the
there has to be
red
a
herring
trucker
ever,
church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I think, though? I think that Cassie needs to go back to school, and I think that Jenny needs to unretire, and they need to fire the cops in that town.
Fire the town cops, yeah. I mean,
like, that
yeah.
captain, I know that, like, they didn't find any proof, but, God, like, he was so obviously guilty and everything. And, yeah, he needs to be fired, I think.
Well,
although
he's
I like that actor,
you know,
but he needs to.
He got strong. I mean, he got strong-armed at the end there because he was
yeah,
trying,
yeah.
you know. He was coming down on them, but at the same time, I mean, he knows their hearts are in the right place and that they're not stupid, you know.
But it was kind of dumb. That was not his boss. That woman was a state trooper, and he's a local sheriff. She's
yeah.
not in
yeah,
his line of authority at all, right? Like, he got yelled,
yeah.
like a woman yelled at him, and he's like, okay, whatever, I'll arrest this other woman because I'm afraid of women yelling at me.
Yeah, but at least
like,
this time it was a woman, because there's been so much woman, not woman,
men.
That's not the right word I want, but condescension towards the women in this show
yeah.
so far. At least this time it was a woman.
That's true, yes, you're right.
Please,
but...
Sharon
but
Taylor.
Like she had no authority. She's like, you know, what is she gonna give him a bunch of parking, the speeding tickets? Like whatever. Like she's not any, you know.
A big conspiracy, maybe.
Yeah, I mean it was.
They had
more
to
there,
do something.
But...
They had to do something to split up Jenny and Cassie and have this big dramatic moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if Jenny and Cassie both went after Ligarski, then, you know, and Cassie sitting there with a gun, Jenny would have been like, listen, if you're not going to shoot him, I will.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's what I thought was going to happen. When Cassie was on the stairs and she's got the gun drawn on Ligarski,
yeah,
and AJ, you said you
him.
Kept thinking that Roger was going to come behind, Ronald was going to come up behind her.
Ronald,
I thought Jenny was going to come behind her and take the shot, or it'd be like a Die Hard thing where they both shoot and you don't know, like, who actually shot him.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of thought she might come, too.
Yeah, I thought that might happen there. What do you
yeah,
guys think about Ronald? Like, oh, go ahead. Go ahead, AJ. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, that's something else I can see going forward. I feel like we're definitely going to see the fallout of Cassie shooting and killing him. Because she was not keen. You could tell she didn't want to do it. And I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
She did, and that's the thing. Ligursky knew she didn't want to pull the trigger. You know, push came to shove.
No, but at least
because she didn't have a choice.
They can't.
But that's why he was. That's what he was trying. You know, he could tell she didn't want to, which is why he was playing that
right.
game that he was playing.
But at least
yeah.
that woman, whether she's involved or not, at least they can't like try to blame it on the women because they obviously have proof because
right.
the girls know who kidnapped them. So. At least they're not going to have that because that would suck if they did that. So.
Yeah, that would suck for her to, like, be arrested and be prosecuted for, like, you know, shooting for saving them. I mean, and that's why, remember a couple episodes ago we were like, why does Ligursky show himself in uniform to the girls? Like, when he comes and the girls say, aren't you here to save us? And he's like, ha, 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 ha. And then, you know, when he comes with the shots in the vet's office, like, why does he reveal himself? Oh, I know why, so that it's totally obvious in the back end of the story when the girls have to be like, yeah, it was this state trooper. There he is, same guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of carelessness. I mean, I guess Ligursky is a very overconfident character throughout, so there's that. But I feel like maybe that's kind of like that kind of sloppiness allows Cassie now to get off scot-free. Not scot-free. She won't be prosecuted.
Right.
And she'll be a hero for following her instincts.
Right.
So I hope that it's not going to turn out that these were the five best episodes of the show. Like, I hope they can sustain this. Like, we talk about this a lot on shows that start out really good. And can they sustain interest? And this show is bad, and I'm still interested in it. And can they keep this, like, to resolve the story to a certain extent in the first five episodes is an interesting choice.
Well, let me ask you a question because I'm not familiar with his writing. Now, the Highway series that this is based on, how many books are there? Because, I mean, if there's different stories, then they can be in it for a while, you know.
Oh, it's a lot of books, I think.
And they're all part of the Highway series?
I think it's at least four or five, right?
So they could probably sustain it for a while.
So the Big Sky Collection, I just Googled it. The Big Sky Collection is, I guess the first... No, I'm looking at the wrong Big... CJ Box, that's his name, right? So the first collection is three books. But there are... No, now I'm seeing book five. There's a whole bunch of books. I have no idea. Hard to say, but the Highway. This is based on the highway.
Could, right. Well, that's what I'm saying. So Big Sky could be like the starting point, and then they finish this whole story, and then they can move on. Obviously still call the show Big Sky and move on to other stories from the series. You know, kind of like Game of Thrones was called Game of Thrones. Meanwhile, the book series is called A Song of Fire and Ice, but the first book was called Game of Thrones, but that's what HBO called the entire series type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Apparently, I have no idea because CJ Box is the author of 27 books, and I don't know how many of them are of this series.
Gotcha.
All
right, well, whatever.
But there's a different series. Yeah, there's a difference. He's got a whole bunch. I mean, this could be, so this says Open Season, Blue Heaven, Nowhere to Run on the Highway. So four of his books have been optioned for film and TV, and I think this is just the Highway. I think this show is just based on the Highway and not on a whole series of books, just on the one book. According to I killed a wiki real quick, and that's what I see. So there's a point where David E. Kelley will maybe have to go off on his own to try to add some original material or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we got a little bit of Ryan Phillippe flashback in this episode. I wonder how much we're going to see him going, like, are we done with him? Like, I get that. So the relationship between the two main characters, I feel like actually hasn't been delved into as much as it might be on other shows. Like they were both in love with the same man, blah, 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 blah. You know, and we've seen a couple flashbacks. We saw a flashback today where Cassie remembered going fly fishing with him. And I feel like we've only seen Cassie flashbacks, and they are, they've been, oh, police, 1 second, you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've been doing some work establishing Cassie's relationship with Cole, that's his name, right? Cole? Cody? What's his name?
Cody.
Ryan Phillippe,
Cody.
Whatever. Cody?
Cody, I think.
Yeah. But they haven't really shown any flashbacks of him with Jenny and what's going on with the estranged wife. So is he, like, I wonder if that's coming. Are we going to see some flashbacks of him with his wife and where that is? Like, I don't really know. Right? Like we've seen.
I don't really care. You know what flashback I want? I want to know what Ronald's urges are.
I know. Your mother's always like, your urges. We talked about this last week. Like, I wonder if he's got some sort of previous sex offender kind of issue going on.
Yeah.
Or if his mother is just, like, super critical of, like, his normal attraction to women.
Or she considers him masturbating to porn urges.
She might, right? She might consider that his urges.
Uh-huh.
So what do you guys think of him, like, up and almost strangling her? Like, we saw Legarski not kill his wife with a hammer. And then we saw Ronald almost kill his mother. And I kind of felt like, gee, is that really the first time this has happened in this household? From his mother's reaction.
Honestly, I kind of sat there going, kill her. Because she's clearly an awful person herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of it's her fault.
They're both horrible. I mean, that's a little bit of a problematic part of the show because, I mean, talk about tropes. They're like cartoon characters. They're like a joke, those two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
that's like
funny
Psycho.
When he does the cereal, though.
It was funny, but it's kind of like beyond.
Yeah, you're right.
These two are like beyond
that's the problem,
belief, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem,
yeah.
Though. It shouldn't be funny.
No, you're right, but I think it was meant to be. I mean, I think they wrote it to be that scene, but yeah, it probably shouldn't be.
We should be, the scenes between Ronald and his mother shouldn't be funny. You know, I shouldn't have when he's strangling his mother, I shouldn't be like,
if he kills her, he kills her. It'll be like so many other, like, you know, TV and
I really didn't care one way or the other.
No, but I feel like his mother, like, is on the verge of turning him in, but I know she never will because that's not how this show ends. Like Cassie
right.
and Jenny have to find him. Like, we don't see him turned in.
Right.
And then she's going to get mom's way to kill Cassie and him.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, or she's going
to,
like, you know, Cassie or Jenny's
yeah.
going to, like, have the drop on him, and mom's going to, like, jump on their back and be like, leave my boy alone!
Probably.
Yep. Yeah, then she'll suddenly defend him, yeah. So I don't know when it's coming back, but I think it's not going to be gone that too long. I think it's coming back in just,
January
like,
26th, I think, I read.
Okay, so a month. That's not bad.
No, I forgot. Let me double check that. I don't remember now.
All right, a month is not too long. All right.
January 26th.
All right, so I feel like that's a little bit annoying, but it's not the worst midwinter break. Remember when, like, Lost would go off in January and not come back till like, April? It would go off in, like, December,
yeah.
right before Christmas and come back in, like, April.
Well,
a lot of shows
Walking
do that.
Dead,
so a month
Walking
not...
Dead still do that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, Walking Dead still does that, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They
ends
leave
in, like,
the,
November,
the set,
comes
the
back
beginning.
In, like...
There's just too many
yeah.
of them in between
February.
That you don't realize it all the time.
Yeah.
Well, Lost, actually, in Lost Defense, Lost only did that once. And it hurt them so much that they never did that again. That's when they started running 16 episodes straight through. after that one season where they had that like 4 month gap, they just said, "Oh no, this isn't working."
So, well, that's, I mean, a month. Okay. So I hope after I don't see my partner for a month that when they come back, I'll still like them. I've been dating this guy for a while and it's bad for me, but it's still fun, but we'll see what happens in a month. Right.
You're right. It might be too big of a break. Are we going to still care then? No, I think the show's fun. It's not the smartest show, but it's fun.
It's a fling. Loss is a relationship.
Yeah, it's a fling. There you go.
It's funny.
Anyway. All right.
All right. So, Jamie, did you watch anything else this week?
I watched a couple screeners, but I was going to say first before I forget, I don't know if you guys read this or not, but His Dark Materials has been renewed for a third and final season. So I don't know how many books there are.
There are three.
That's what I thought. There's three.
Well, yeah,
there were originally three. There were originally three, but he's written a couple of like side stories, I think, associated with His Dark Materials.
Oh, okay.
But they're probably doing the complete main story.
So the next book will be
The Amber Spyglass is the next book. So that will probably be the next season.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Probably. I don't know. I didn't read much yet other than that. I just was going to mention that. And then, like I said, The Watch starts on BBC next month, the one that's based on Discworld. And Prodigal Son is coming back. I know you guys don't watch that, but I watched the first two. I really like that show. It's funny and it's smart. I like it. And then I also started Discovery of Witches, which I'm really excited is coming back. I'm going to be streaming here in the United States too the same time, which is nice. I'm not going to say anything about it. Obviously, if people read the book, they know what's coming. But the one thing I will say, because we did know from the end of last season, like that they're going to, Elizabethan England this season, I will say that, like, just the sets and the costumes and it's gorgeous. And I was excited even just for that. And it's really cool.
How much have you watched?
Just the one so far. I have more, but I just haven't had time with everything going on. But I guess you call it a little town. I won't call it a little town, but the roads in that, it reminds me of, like, Hogsmeade stuff in a way, like the, like, skinny winding roads.
Ooh.
I don't know. That's what it makes me think of. But it's just, I had seen something. I forget what I saw it on one of the specials or something they showed behind the scenes where they, like, extended the buildings and that because they have, like, their little town. And it's really, really cool looking. And the costumes are also awesome. So, I think people are going to like that. I'm liking it so far. I need to get time. I want to see the rest. I'm waiting to see the rest. But that's the 9th, I believe. And then, obviously, the 1st also is Doctor Who returns for its New Year's special. So that's good.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait either. I get too excited.
Before you leave,
I
want
to talk about it, but not everybody wants to know ahead, so I won't.
Have you two seen Amazon is advertising a show called The Wilds? But has already dropped. The first episode is out.
Yeah, I want to see that, too. It looks kind of like Lost.
I had not heard about that one.
That's what I was going to
see. Like
it's a plane crash. It's a Lost ripoff. I don't know if it is, but it's a bunch of, looks like teen show, kind of. They look like teenager girls who crash on a deserted island. Their plane crashes. It's a deserted island, and they seem to have some interpersonal issues. And then it appears that they're not alone on the island, and it looks like they walk into an underground bunker, right?
Yeah, it looks
like
it's
a hatch.
Interesting, as long as it ends up not being Lost ripoff, but it very well could be. So
it looks like Lost for teens, but we'll see.
I always wanted to watch more of Wrecked. That show, I think, was funny because it was a Lost ripoff on purpose to be funny, but
I loved that.
I never
show.
Got to see the rest of it.
I thought that show was part of it. It got canceled.
That was hilarious.
It only ran one season, right? It was hilarious.
Season four, I think.
I saw the first couple, and then I think I saw one in between. It was like a Hunger Games type thing, and then I never ended up watching more.
Yeah, that was the final
season.
The first few were the best, of course.
Where they had the most Lost to rip off, but
those I had seen. I had seen the first couple.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Alrighty.
So I guess that's it in the close future. And we obviously next the season finale, two-part season finale was tonight, so I got to catch up on that. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry you didn't see this week. I guess we'll just
do a
quick cover of the...
I just am an idiot. But anyway,
whatever. It's not that great a show. It's not a show that you're like, I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, no,
right?
you're right.
I don't blame. I don't blame you for that one bit. That you forgot.
And see, that's what I said. Like,
I
felt like that
it.
With Big Sky. Like, it's not like I'm so excited in the sense that, like, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's just one of those ones, like, it's fun and enjoyable, as crazy as it is. So, yeah, I'm enjoying that. But anyway.
And it's one all right.
All right. Well, so I don't have anything else to say unless I want to spoil people, which I don't want to do. So I am going to go. You guys have fun talking about the rest. Have a good Christmas and New Year's and holidays and happy holidays to everybody else, and we'll be back after. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, everybody have a great holidays. Good night, guys.
Okay.
All right, enjoy your holiday, Jamie.
Good night, Jamie.
Good night.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we got two things, AJ. Would you like to talk first about The Expanse or about His Dark Materials?
I don't care. They're both good.
Let's talk about His Dark Materials, which I just watched right moment. I like finished it like as I was dialing you. I was finishing it.
Okie dokie.
I think it was, as usual, it was a good episode. I liked it. I think it was a little, I mean, some amazing stuff happened, but it was a little bit of a setup episode, as you would mostly expect from the penultimate episode of the season, right? Like, second, we always expect things to be moving into place. I'm so glad that the witches finally seem to have a point, which, you know, the witches have been sort of like dancing around the edges of the storyline and not really jumping in. So I feel like, okay, finally the witches are playing. So I was glad to see that. As usual, Ruth Wilson, every scene she's in, she completely dominates. And she made a bold move. What else is there to say? The kids at CGI, to me, as always, I feel like Mr. Joppery and Mr. what's his name? Lin-Manuel Miranda, whatever
Lee.
His character's name is. Lee.
Well, how
sort
do you
of
forget
a
Lee?
I know, I forgot Lee. I remember Lin-Manuel Miranda, but I can remember Lee. And I remember Joppery, but not Lee. So Lee and Joppery are sort of this part of the story that I'm like, what the hell is going on with these two? And they're sort of on the fringes. They're not doing anything related to our main characters, and they're not doing anything that really illuminates either of them to me. So I feel like they're really sort of, what the hell is going on with that story? And to the last minute, they didn't really have, like, I don't know. I feel like I don't know what's going on with that and how that has a point. And I feel like they've just written stuff to keep Lin-Manuel Miranda, like, having something to do so he can be in every episode without actually – he doesn't actually do anything. And Joppery is like, oh, I'm a shaman. Oh, a mystic. I have no powers. I have powers. Blah, blah, blah. My son, this and that. I'm like, what? Can we move that along a little bit? To me, that part was is the weaker part of the show every week. But this week it was a little bit better because they actually, like – at least we saw some cool, like, CGI with the wind and the lightning and the magisterium and stuff.
Yeah, it was not a lot happened. But like you said, you know, it's kind of the setup episode. I was very sad to see Boreal go. I enjoy Boreal. He's a fun adversary, you know? So I was kind of surprised to see Coulter kill him. But it's interesting because I'm watching this scene, and I see him kind of cozying up to him, like, during this episode. And I'm like, what did I miss? I feel like I missed something. Because up to this point, you know, like, he made advances at her before, and she was kind of like, don't you wish? And now she's like, let's celebrate. You know, and then, like, she's like, oh, do you see me as your equal? And she takes his hand, and I'm like, something is not right. And then she kisses him, and I'm like, whoa. I'm like, what the hell did I miss here? I'm like, and then I'm like, oh, she poisoned him. I'm like, she poisoned him. Okay, now it all makes sense. She got him to let his guard down, and she totally killed him.
But and she played him, right? She totally played him.
Yeah, oh, yeah. totally played them. The thing that really intrigues me about her, though, is I thought it was kind of comical. And from what we've seen about Boreal, I almost felt like it was kind of out of character. But he's terrified of the specters with good reason. But, you know, to see, I love it when she starts walking towards them and he closes the doors and kind of slinks back into the darkness. I was laughing. But for the first time, we really see her willpower, you know, because she's talked about it with her demon and everything. And we see, like, the demon go stoic after she, like, concentrates. And then she goes and she controls the specters. And I was like, wow, I was like, she really, you know, she's not a witch herself, but she's definitely studied the witches and other aspects because she really has amazing control over her own body and thoughts and mind, you know? So I'm really intrigued by that. I'm anxious to see where else and what other tricks she has up her sleeve that go, you know, what direction that goes in as it progresses. Because I feel like it's going to play a bigger part towards the end with her ability to just control her willpower in such a way that I've never seen before like that. So
no,
very
and
intriguing
I kind
there.
Of, I kind of felt like, so as I was watching that and seeing her incredible self-control, you know, I was worried about the monkey for a minute there. Like, would the monkey take it when she wouldn't take it, right? But no, the monkey was protected also. So that was good because, you know, we all love that monkey so much. I also, there was a moment where it felt like not only was she, like, she controlled the, she wasn't just immune to the specters, but it looked like they were a little bit afraid of her and she controlled them. And there was a moment where I thought she might send the specters kill Boreal. Like, I thought she was directing them towards the house for a second there. And then later we saw the same thing where she holds her hand over the flame and she's looking into the monkey's eyes, right? Like she's really looking into her demon's
eyes.
And
the monkey's like, dude, stop.
The monkey's like, that hurts me too. Stop. And then she caves. I mean, I agree with you to see her suddenly like kiss Boreal. You knew something was up, like, because Boreal, like a big part of all of Marissa's interactions with the Magisterium are kind of sexually charged, right? Like, there's this, like, undercurrent where these men are so repressed and she's the only woman around them. And I, you know, I kind of, it's only now that we're talking, I kind of wondered, like, why Marissa never killed him or any of them before and she chose this moment. And, yeah, they're outside of their world, but I have to wonder if a little bit of it is like, you know, last week Marissa entered the other world where she saw women who are far more empowered. We talked a lot about, you know, women who are published, academics, and what she could have been. And she's wearing trousers. She's wearing actually, like, riding breeches this entire episode, right? And that, I don't know, I just kind of feel like maybe it's part of Marissa, like, seeing and feeling like a new empowered feminism, right? Like, allows her maybe at this moment to decide to kill him finally. I just loved how much she was like, I'm sorry, let me just for a second. How much says to Boreal, she says to Boreal, like, you knew all about this and you thought so small, right? And what she means is, like, we talked about this last week also, like, all he did was steal artifacts from different worlds. And tonight she's like, look, Boreal, you knew all this and you never told me, and you're thinking so small, and there's so much more we could do. And then she says, like, look, I don't need you. Like, after she defeats the specters, she's like, I don't need you. And she doesn't have to work through men anymore or be beholden to men. Like, I thought it was a kind of a feminist moment when she kills him.
Yeah. Well, I think that's exactly why she chose, you know, you asked why she chose this moment, is because she doesn't need him anymore. Before, he was, you know, he was an ally in a man's world and a man that, you know, for you know, thought of her more of an equal than the Magisterium do. You know, the Magisterium never saw her as anything more than a puppet. You know.
Yeah. He like at least he took her seriously when the rest of them did, kind of thing, right?
Right.
Yeah.
They, you know, they had their little chess match going, you know, and they were useful to each other. And now he's no longer useful to her because she knows all his secrets. So, you know, she has no need for him anymore.
So do you think she killed him because, like, in a more vengeful kind of way, or so that he can't, like, tell other people and work against her kind of way, or both? I think it's both, maybe, right?
Probably both. I think going back to the empowerment, I think it's kind of that too. Another more empowering moment for her of kind of like, I don't need you, so I can, you know, this I can just so easily discard you. You know what I mean? She even says that line to him. She even says, "You were never my equal. Like, I've always been." You know,
that was awesome.
That's all she says.
Yeah.
But what she's saying is, I've always been better than you. I'm better than everybody, and I don't disagree. She's always been the smartest person in the room.
Oh yeah, I think she's smarter than Azriel.
Well, I can't really. I mean,
she's never had the opportunity.
Possibly, but
yeah.
we've never really seen them together. You know what I mean? So we can't.
No, and
know,
actually, we've seen little of Azriel. We've seen much more of her than we have of Azriel. We don't really know anything about him.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Though, we've never really seen them interact to
yeah.
really see what they were like.
Yeah.
So there's something else.
Well, the kids and the witches were sort of a thing, right? The kids and I talked about how I was glad to see the witches have a role, but I still feel the witches are a little bit of a, I don't know, the witches are a little bit of a, I don't know, are they just a means to help the kids get where they need to go? Do they actually have a story? Do the witches, you know, I don't know, it's a little, I mean, mostly they just talk about the prophecy, which we really could somebody please read the prophecy to me? Like, I feel like when we watched Harry Potter, like in the last three movies, nonstop, neither can live while the other survives, right? Like, that was going on all the time in Harry Potter, everybody knew it. No one has told us
this
prophecy.
Well, we know the prophecy. Well, no, we do know. We know what the prophecy is. The big mystery is what her other name is. Like, we know the prophecy is that she will bring the worlds together and save them all or something like that. I forget the exact wording. But that's the whole prophecy, is that she's going to save all the worlds. Now, since you brought that up, the Magisterium guy that can read the alethiometer, when he's talking to the cardinal, and he's like, "Oh, I can't say these things in Paris." And he's like, "You're reading something. You're not thinking them. Just tell me what it said already." And he's like, "Well, she goes by another name." "Okay, well, what's her name? Speak her name." And he's like, "You know, she's going to be the mother of all." And then he said, I thought he said something. I thought maybe I misheard this, but I thought he said something about a serpent. So I immediately was like, "What's her
yes.
other name? Eve?"
Yes, he said, "Mother of us all, cause of all sin," and he said something like, "If she is tempted by the serpent, then she will fall." That, like,
right.
If she's, so I think
yeah.
so she's Eve, right? Like, basically,
that's
the story of Eve.
That's exactly,
like,
that's what I. And then they cut.
Say?
You know, just he's about to speak her name. They cut away, and I'm like, "Why? Just tell us her name." And I'm like, "I'm pretty sure it's going to be Eve," which I think is kind of ironic,
yeah.
considering. You know.
Yeah, I mean, like, because he said, like, when he said mother of us all, he said I think he said mother of us all, and then he talked about sin, and he did say if like the serpent tempts her, or if she is tempted by the serpent or something like that. So, like, I guess that makes her Eve, which is funny because, like, the story we all learned about Eve was that she was the first woman, and Lyra's clearly not the first of our species, right?
Right.
But, I mean, she could be... I mean, this idea of original sin has been playing out since season one, really, where, like, dust, they think dust is sin,
yeah.
right? Yeah. So maybe she's more like the reincarnation of Eve, or like the second coming is not going to be Jesus, it's going to be Eve. I mean, it's interesting, like, you know, we talk a little bit about the sexism and the feminism in the show, and Eve is sort of like the ultimate woman who got a bad rap for all of eternity, right? Like, Eve, like,
yeah.
Eve's the person who, like, ruined everything for all of humans because she just had to,
yeah.
like, in that sense, like Marissa Coulter is kind of like Eve, right? Like, Marissa Coulter is, like, the woman who wants knowledge. But Lyra, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like we got a little more about it tonight. Like, I'm not sure, like, is it me or has no one ever articulated it this much, the prophecy? Like, there's always a prophecy about a child and a girl and a boy, but that's all we've heard, I think, until tonight, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's intentionally ambiguous, you know, to keep us on the edge.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Get little pieces.
So I was surprised in this episode that none of the adults bumped into each other.
None of the who?
None of the adults. Like, all the adults are, so, how do you say it? Chittagaza, the city that they're all in, looks like kind of a small city on top of this little island, and, like, everyone's hanging around there making noise, and no one, like, so now Boreal and Coulter are there.
Coulter.
Mary Malone is there. The witches and the kids were there for a while, and Lee and Joffrey are coming in there, and, like, no one ever, like, has, like, will they all see each other? I thought this week we'd see a scene where maybe all these adults ran into each other. They're like, have you seen Lyra? Have you seen Lyra? Have you seen Lyra? I haven't seen Lyra. Have you seen Lyra? Like, they're all there pursuing this kid.
Mary did run into the girls, so there is that.
She did, yeah. That was so sad, wasn't it?
I'm not surprised, though, because I think the place is a little large. Well, I mean, yeah, Lyra and Will and the witches, they're going up the mountain. They're out in the wilderness. So they're not in the town anymore. And Joffrey, they just went past the city. I mean, they just flew over it, you know. And then you got, I mean, if anybody was going to run into each other, it would have been Mary and Coulter. But they seem to be in different parts of the city, so.
Yeah.
I'm not really that surprised that nobody ran into each other.
All right. That's, yeah.
I was expecting the episode to end with Lee and Joffrey meeting up with Lyra and Will. Like, I expected them to get to the top of the mountain and be like, hey, there's Lee's balloon. But that's not how it went out. Instead, the balloon went up.
It ends with the fight against the Magisterium, right?
Yeah. You know what?
Yeah.
I get the feeling that this reunion between Will and his dad isn't going to be as happy as either one of them think it's going to be.
No, because that guy is not his dad. Right? That's not his dad
anymore.
You don't think
Joffrey's his dad?
That's weirdo. No, I mean, I think he's his biological father, but I think whoever, like, John Perry was, this Mr. Joffrey is a freak that is not a person that Will will recognize as, right? Like, I mean, he'll recognize, like, physically he'll recognize him, but this is not the father that he misses. This is some weirdo shamanistic weather-controlling freakazoid guy. Like, I don't think it's going to be, like, a perfect family reunion, right?
Right. Well, my thing is, all he keeps talking about is whoever has the knife is going to be an evil person. And I'm thinking, your son has the knife. Like, I think it's going to be, give me the knife. And Will's going to be like, no. And he's like, give me the knife, son, you know, type of thing. I think it's not going to end well. You know, because Joffrey's, you know, making all these promises about how once I get the knife, yes, it'll protect all of us. I'll protect Lyra. And I'm thinking, yeah, this isn't going to end well. Like, I don't see, you know, like, I mean, I don't see Joffrey being any better of a father than Asriel. I think it's going to be that type of thing.
Well, I think you might be right. Like this, like he's obsessed with the knife, or he wants the knife, and will he only use like the way that Asriel has used Lyra in a lot of different ways through the years, and might have killed her. Like, is Joffrey going to try to use Will to control the knife? We've seen that the knife. The wand chooses the wizard, the knife chooses the wielder, but if you can control Will, you can control the knife, right?
Yeah.
I think, so this show, like, Lyra has been failed by every single adult she's pretty much ever met, except for maybe, like, one or two, like Lee and the polar bear guy, right? And I think Will comes from a different scenario where his mother is a wonderful, loving mother, and he remembers his father as a loving father. And I think for Will, it's going to be a kind of a letdown that Lyra is accustomed to.
Oh, and that reminds me, speaking
Sorry.
Of which Joffrey, no, that's right. I just remembered. We got confirmation finally, for the first time, that Joffrey is definitely from quote unquote our world. You know, him.
Oh, yeah.
He's from the same world originally as Will, because we always speculated that he might have been from, you know, Asriel's world and crossed over and met them. You know, we weren't really sure which direction he came from, but we got confirmation in this episode.
Yeah, and that's actually a really interesting thing to me, which I mean, despite Joffrey being sort of a freak that turns me off sometimes, like, how did he manage to come across, like, have a whole life? Like, he had some kind of life where he met Will's mother. They had a child, they did, you know, they had a life together. Like, how did all that, like, come about is interesting, and why? Why he chose to settle down for a while. Although he did apparently leave them repeatedly for his missions.
Yeah.
But that's all very, like, I'd love to, we're not going to get it, because we're getting one more season, and it's only going to be, like, probably another 8 episodes, right?
We might get some
but
exposition.
That's a kind of interesting thing. Yeah. That's a really interesting thing to me, like how he came to. I mean, it's not more interesting than other stuff, but it's sort of an interesting side story.
Yeah, he probably found the same gate that Boreal found.
Probably right, because they're like, we don't know how many gates there are, not that many until Asriel blew the world up, blew the gate open, but.
I don't know if we talked about this last week, but Artie brought up a good point that I hadn't even thought about. The few gates that there are probably from previous knife wielders who forgot to zip the window shut.
Right.
They used the knife to cut it open and then never closed it.
Yeah, that's totally correct, because Boreal didn't make that gate himself. He just somehow found it. Also, a very interesting sort of side story that we'll never know. How did Boreal find it? Like, who made it and had Boreal find it, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter how he found it.
Those are interesting things. And, like, as already pointed out, like, somebody made that and failed to close it. And we know that every time you fail to close a gate, a cut, that it allows specters through. But, like, who made that? Whoever had the knife before. I mean, the knife has been around for centuries, right? So there's been any number of knife wielders who have made mistakes.
It could have been the guy that Will got the knife from, for all we know, you know?
Yep, and I do feel that's a mistake that we will see Will make before this is over. Like, I feel like we have seen, especially when Will first got the knife, we saw him cut a seam and Lyra had to remind him to close it. And he did, but, like, in the heat of battle or whatever, will he always remember that? Like, I feel like that's that was a little bit of I don't know, but I feel like it's a little bit of foreshadowing.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that something along those lines is definitely going to not go right.
Mm-hmm. Whew. Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
So, next week is the season finale. which is so frustrating to me.
I know.
Because I would love this show to go for at least, like, what's episode 7 next week? I'd love the show to go for at least 10, right? I know it's a very expensive program, but I'd love to see them be able to slow down a little bit sometimes and give us a little more.
Yeah.
I think the season has been, I don't know, in some ways better than season one. It, you know, I the storytelling is a little faster.
Crisper and faster.
But I love season one also.
Yeah.
I like season one also. And
well,
I know that this is meant to be a family show, which does, so you watch it with AJ. I mean, you watch it with Artie.
No. Yes.
Alyssa doesn't watch it. And Damon's too small still, right?
Yeah, Damon wouldn't get it. And Alyssa started watching season one, and then she's kind of like Jamie like that. She'll start watch something and then get sidetracked by something
and then
doesn't go back.
And then, yeah.
And then fall so far behind,
yeah.
And just like, eh.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know that. So, anyway, I know this show is supposed to be a family show, and those were sort of YA books, and the show is trying to attract both younger people and adults who are the people who pay the bill for HBO. I mean, I don't see that all as a kid show, actually. Like, there's a lot of shows we watch, especially, like, shows that Jamie and I watch that are on, like, CW or that are on Sci-Fi, and I'm like, oh, I'm too old. They're not going for me on the show. But I feel totally cool with whatever they're doing on HBO Max. I don't feel like I'm not the audience.
Right.
So, all right, only one more, and then we got to wait. God knows how long we'll wait for them to make a year of this show.
Yeah.
I mean, it must take hours and hours. To everything that monkey does takes, like, 100 hours, probably. God, I love that monkey. I hope the monkey can be liberated in season 3. I'm going to start a letter-writing campaign that monkey must be liberated.
Actually, maybe
free
the
monkey.
Maybe, well, Karen, not for nothing, maybe the kindest thing that can happen to the monkey is Miss Coulter dies. And then the monkey can finally make peace.
And then the monkey would die, yeah. Yeah. Oh, actually, by the way, quickly before we leave this discussion, when Boreal started to struggle to breathe and things like that, where he had been, when he had been poisoned, there was a moment.
Yeah.
Did you think there was a moment where I'm like, oh, is it possible the monkey is strangling the snake off screen and I don't see it? Like, I thought maybe the monkey was doing it. Was that just me?
No, the monkey. No, they actually show that when the snake's kind of shriveling up inside itself, and the monkey's kind of sitting there like, wow, look at that.
You know, the monkey had nothing to do with it, right? But I was like,
wishing
the monkey was, yeah. The poor monkey. Ugh. All right, anyway.
All right.
One
on
more
to
week.
The season
the meantime,
5
onto
premiere
the
of The Expanse. Oh, I watched it immediately that night when I got home from work. I was so excited.
So did I. And it feels like so long ago now.
I know.
Before
we actually start talking about the episode. All right. When the heck did it premiere? Did it premiere last Friday?
Friday, yeah.
I started thinking about this. I know we said we're going to cover one a week, but if they dropped 3, so does that mean this coming week they're going to, you know, that now they're going to drop 1, so that means there'll be 4 episodes available?
Yeah. They drop 3 the first week, and it'll be 1 every time.
Right, yeah. So for us to be, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but for it to make sense, I think maybe, I know we only watched 1 this week, but maybe for next week we watch episodes 2 and 3, and then
you want to catch up
4 and 5, and then 4 and 5, so we're caught up with where they're at. So the next 2 weeks we'll do 2 episodes, and then it'll be 1 a week. That's what we should. Do this week. We should have done 2 this week, 2 next week. But
all right, but we agreed that we wouldn't.
Anyway.
So yeah.
No,
all
I
right.
know, but then I started thinking about we're going to be behind everybody else if we do it this way.
All right, so we'll catch up. All right.
Anyway.
And it would have been good because I felt like this first episode, while it was so great to have the show back, and I mean, I love it, but this was a pretty setup-y kind of an episode, right?
Yeah, this is where they are type of thing.
Yeah. So not
Which
a ton of
I
action
hope not
as we
last.
Yeah, you're gonna move along.
Not last too long. I hate it when everybody's apart.
I do too, and I'm not sure that I'm 100% down with. So look, I love Naomi, but I want her to find her son, but I feel like this maybe
isn't gonna
not
end well.
No, and I feel like it's not really a good season-long plot. And I just, like, I hope that maybe it'll be resolved in a couple of episodes and lead to something bigger, which happens in The Expanse, right?
Well,
a lot of times in The Expanse, there's a thing that happens, and you're like, what? And then it becomes,
yeah,
like, a huge part of, like galaxy-spanning repercussions.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the whole thing with her son is going to be the main part of it. I think the main part is going to be finding Marcos. And I think that's how that's going to – I think Marcos is going to be the key to getting everybody back together. I think Naomi's going off on her own, which isn't going to end well, to look for Philip, who needs a timeout. Philip needs to go in a timeout. Not a good kid. I think
yeah,
she's
he's
going
a total,
to do that. And
go
then
ahead.
I think Holden is going to – Christian is going to end up calling Holden and saying, hey – I need to do something for me. And he's going to be like, oh, what do you want now? And she's going to be like, you need to go find Marcos. And he's going to be like, you know, okay. And then, of course, going to look for Marcos, he's going to run into Naomi. And who knows, maybe he grabs, you know, Alex and Amos and says, hey, guys, we gotta go.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be something in that ballpark.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I always feel like this show, like whatever you think is happening is not what's like every season, the main story is such a giant thing, like end of humanity level of thing, right? Like we know what's going on in this season is asteroids are heading towards Earth, and you know, because Marco sent them there and he's whatever. And so the fate of the Earth is a major story, but there's always this bigger sort of politics going on.
Right.
And that's
the other thing. I think Alex, I'm sorry. Go ahead, finish.
No, go ahead. I don't really find Alex that sympathetic. And I do think that over the last several seasons, they've done a decent job of communicating the Belter perspective and the political issues and the OPA. And so the idea of like the idea of Marco makes sense to me. Like Marco to me is sort of like a, not an Al Qaeda, but a sort of, you know, he's a terrorist, right? And he's some sort of terrorist.
Yeah.
Fundamental, like he actually has a lot of grievances that I can kind of relate to and things that we see in our own world in terms of terrorists. So I get that. I think the whole thing with the sun is kind of dumb. Like, I guess I might rather see Naomi be like, I know this guy, let me help try to figure it out, catch him, whatever. But her being like, I'm going to go get my, like, what is going to happen? Like, she's going to see him and he's like, oh, mommy, I'm so sorry. Let me come home with you. Like, I'm not sure what she thinks
yeah,
is going to happen kinda here, right?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, yeah,
he cold-bloodedly, like, he killed that guy in the first
oh,
scene
yeah,
where they're on that mission, and he leaves that guy to die in a very cold and calculated way. I mean, no, he didn't kill him in cold blood, but he was like, I am not going to save you because my clock is running out and make your soul rest in heaven forever kind of business, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, also, if they tried to save
cold
him, they'd probably all die.
That's true, but it's still a very cold. So the crew of the Rossi would always make the choice to try to save you, right?
Yeah.
Rossi will always go for you and save you. It's the opposite thing of what Naomi would do. I just feel like they're setting up. I just don't know that this is a kid that his mother shows up and he's like, "Oh, mommy, I've missed you. Let me, like, you know."
No, I think that's going to be the problem. I think at some point Naomi is going to have to make the choice. Do you want to try to save your son, or do you accept who he is and stop him? I think that's what it's going to come down to for her, because I don't think you can redeem somebody. When they go on that, it's a science vessel, and whatever it was they wanted and took, they killed those people in cold blood. You know, they're scientists. They're not armed. They didn't even try to plead their case. They were just like, shut up, and shot them in the head.
Yeah.
You can't redeem somebody like that. And I think that's what's going to have to happen. For Naomi, I think Naomi's going to come to grips with the terms that, he may have been born from you, but he's not your son. He's Marcos' son, and he's not a good person.
Ooh, that's a great way of putting it, AJ. I agree with you on all that, but I think that Naomi – do I object to the way they're writing Naomi? Like, does Naomi know all that? Naomi was in the OPA. She was in love with this guy. And for her to be like, I have to save my son, I've got to find him and rescue him from this guy, and I hope when I find him he'll be, does she really believe this? Or is it just part, I'm not a parent. Is it part of being a parent that you desperately try to do whatever you can, even if you know it's not going to work because you just have to do it?
Well,
it could be
part parent. This is Naomi. Naomi is kind of naive at times, like when she gave Fred Johnson the missile.
Okay. Good point. Yeah.
This is totally Naomi. This is not, we talk about, characters on other shows doing stuff that are out of character to advance the story. This is Naomi. I'm not surprised by this move at all. And leaving Holden behind to go and do it. I'm not surprised at all. This is classic Naomi. This is not
and
the
that
first
for
time 16
years,
she's
top. Never, She's never done anything about it for 16 years, and now all of a sudden she's like, maybe she wasn't empowered before, but.
She's also never known where he was before. She's had Fred Johnson looking for him forever, and now he's finally surfaced because now he's of age where he's helping Marcos terrorize, the world.
I'm not sure that Fred was actually looking until recently, right? Might have been looking forever, but he wasn't really looking.
Yeah. Well, Fred has his own agendas. Speaking of Fred, does this man never learn? Really?
He never learns. No. Nope. He never learns. Yeah. It was great to see him. Fred has not really been a big part of the storyline for a while, and I'd love to see him be a little more of a part of it. I think that whole OPA resistance thing is interesting, the actor, I want Chad Coleman, right? I love Chad Coleman. But he seems to lately just be a person on a screen that Naomi talks to twice a season. I hope there'll be more for him. He was a little bit of a sellout last year, right? He runs the station, sort of joined forces with the UN.
Well, yeah, the dynamics have definitely changed. The OPA and Belters have finally kind of gotten what they wanted somewhat,
mm-hmm.
It's still a tedious alliance, but they're moving towards what they were fighting for,
Yeah. Yeah.
So, where are our other people? Amos is still awesome. I love his conversation with Christian, especially right before he leaves her. And she's like, you're not going to kill anybody while you're down there, right? He's like, eh.
Yeah. He's going back to Baltimore, I think, is his storyline for the season.
Yeah, he's going
right?
back to,
and we've seen a lot about that.
Yeah, he's going back to Baltimore for the funeral.
Yeah. Or allegedly for the funeral, right?
Well, I think it's legitimate. I just think something else is going to happen while he's there, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting because
Alex, go ahead, finish what you're saying.
Well, it's interesting because Amos seems to be a person who's been really good at leaving his past behind in a way, right? Like, we don't know much about him. We know he comes from probably an abusive background in Baltimore. He might have been an organized crime boss. We don't really know, but he's not like somebody like Holden or Naomi, who their every move is haunted by their past decisions, right? And even Alex, who, like, much of what he does is haunted by having left his wife and child. Amos has always seemed to be a person who, like, really rolls with the punches. For him to go back home for a funeral, to me, is a little bit, I mean, it must be a very significant person in his life who died.
Well, it was his best friend.
Yeah.
It was that girl he told the story
allegedly,
about last
yeah.
season.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But
allegedly. I love how you don't believe anything about Amos until you actually see it.
I don't. Amos is a person that I will take other characters at face value, but Amos, I'm like, I gotta see it. He's a liar. I love him, but he's a liar. He was great in this episode. like he's a guy that, I mean, he probably has been a criminal in his past, but he has a code. Like, Amos has a code of honor that he sticks
yeah.
by. Like, when he wouldn't let those guys pay protection money on the ship, right?
Yeah.
And it's not really clear why he felt that way, except that he looks out for the little guy and the oppressed guy. And also, he's like, I'm a giant person that can beat the shit out of anyone, so why don't I just, like, protect you right now?
Yeah. I like when he goes to take the shower, and like, they're going to be waiting for you. He goes, yeah, I know, I have no patience. Or I wait.
yeah. Yeah, he was looking for a fight for sure, right? And he got it. He was like, yeah, whatever. He did not expect to find Christian there, and I didn't either. To find Christian basically being a glorified, like, TSA kind of officer, right?
Yeah.
It's weird to me how that happened.
Yeah, well, what does he say to her? He says, aren't you the queen of Earth right now or something?
And she's like, you don't keep up with the news, do you? how she went from being Secretary General to a member of Parliament, and as a member of Parliament, her job is sort of like running, like, she's living on a station, right? They were on Luna Station.
Yeah.
Like, wherever they are, they're not on Earth. Well, I mean, I know her husband left her at the end of the last season, but it surprised me a little to find her there.
She even says, the new, whatever, her, I forget the woman she ran against last season. I can't think of her name right now. But she even says, she's like, I was given this job as a joke, you know, because she gave me this job knowing that I would turn it down, but obviously I can't turn it down because of it. And she knew that, you know. So it's like, it's a big joke.
It is, but of course we know that at the end of last season, Christian and Bobby, you know, were going to work behind the scenes together.
Yeah.
So did Christian only take that job because it puts her in a position, right? Like, I'm pretty sure she didn't go there. I mean, I did. Granted, I loved her clothes in the seat. Did you see that incredible jacket she had with those amazing, like, turnpack cuffs on her sleeves? Great costume. It's been really, to me, it was really amazing to see her get out of those. She's worn those kind of very formal saris as she in the last couple of seasons when she was Secretary General, and she was a little more cowboyish, I felt like, in this episode, and I loved the costume, and I felt like it helped me to feel this thing about where I feel like Christian is there because she wants to be there because she always has a plan.
Right.
And she makes the best of whatever situation she's in. Yeah, and she probably only took that job if it's going to help her and Bobby figure out what they're working on.
Right, which is going to obviously turn out that Marcos is the big person they're trying to find behind all the stuff Bobby's doing.
Well, I mean, it's very obvious that, right, all that
yeah.
tech was being sold on Mars to help him. Something's rotten in the MRN.
Yeah, Christian continues to be my favorite character on the show. I mean, Sheree Agdashloo, she kills it. And everything she's ever been in. I mean, even when she's the bad guy in something I've seen her in, I love watching her. She's just an amazing actress. And she looks like she's just having so much fun playing Christian, because you notice, like, she's the only I mean, other people have sworn on the show, but she's the only one that swears consistently and so emphatically, and it's just her character, you know? Like, it's like if she's not swearing at somebody, you think something doesn't seem right, you know? It's just...
Right, yeah.
She's
yeah.
She's just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's your favorite character. She's definitely in my top favorite characters too. She's pretty great. She might be my favorite. Yeah. So we didn't really see much of. Go ahead.
I was going to ask. What do you think of Alex's good mood? Alex was in too good of a mood. Like, I mean, Alex is usually the optimistic one in these in pretty much every situation. But I mean, he looked like he was walking on a fucking rainbow. I mean, and Bobby wasn't having it. She was like, dude. It's a wrap. Stop trying to, you know, feel better about leaving your family. And she's like, I'm not having it. I'm going. Bye. See ya.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you're right. Alex was kind of an idiot in this episode, right? Like, why would Alex feel so... Like,
yeah.
He goes to see his wife. She's like, get the hell away. You can't see your son, whatever. And then he meets Bobby,
yeah,
and he's all like, oh, it's going great.
Yeah. And that bar he chose, what the hell, Bobby? Or Bobby, what the hell, Alex? Like, that was just awful.
Oh, it was terrible, right? Like, could you have planned it to go worse? Like, what was he? Yeah.
I don't know what he was thinking. That was just bad.
I don't know either. I mean, this guy stayed away from his family for years, arguably to protect them. And that's what he's selling, right? And his ex-wife is like, whatever. Like, I think his ex-wife is totally legit with her grievances. She's not wrong to be like, whatever, Alex, you left. We thought you were dead for 7 years, so whatever. I mean, she's not wrong. And then he still is, like, bouncing up on Bobby. Like, he and Bobby definitely had a little bit of spark last year, right? There was a time when I might have been interested to see it, but right now, after watching it this week, I'm like, whatever, Bobby, steer clear. Bobby, say no.
Yeah.
Red alert, Bobby, stay away, right? Not that Bobby would do that. We haven't seen Bobby be that kind of person, and she's definitely going to be devoted to her mission this season. But Alex and Bobby, I see it. I saw it more last year. I see it less after this episode.
Yeah.
Also, we know that Cass Anwar has been fired, right? He will not be in next season.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot about that.
Right? Yeah, remember he had all that. There was a big scandal last season
about
his personal life. And he is not in next season. That's been announced that he's not in next season.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. I forgot. I didn't forget that he had that whole debacle, but I totally forgot that he was let go.
I mean, I'm not saying he'll get killed. Maybe he'll get back together with his wife and leave the show. Maybe he'll get with Bobby and they'll both leave the show. Like, who knows, right? He has a limited story arc this season. I don't really see him and Bobby. You're right. He was just an idiot. I mean, maybe his happiness was because he's just trying to make himself happy and tell himself it's going to be okay when it's not. I told my wife, it was great. Yeah, it's going to be fine. We're going to get back together. Or she's going to see my kid, right? Maybe he's just, like, telling himself a story. He's artificially happy. But it was kind of dumb and, like, really, who cares? Like, there's bigger fish to fry this season.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, you know, since Bobby's going to end up going after, you know, going after the big gun guy, she's going to need Alex to help her.
Yeah.
You know, Alex
yeah.
and Bobby are going to head towards Marcos, probably not knowing right away that it is Marcos. Christian's going to get pulled in and say, hey, I need to go after Marcos. By the way, I got your boy here. Pick him up on the way. So him and Amos are going to be headed out. And then Naomi's already going to be there looking for Philip. And they're all going to go, hey, what are you doing here? All right, everybody on the Rosie. Let's get this asshole.
Yeah. And a bunch of people get killed. I mean, I'm sure Marco will get killed before it's over, right? There's no way Marco survives this season.
It's funny. After the first episode, I said, I looked at Artie and I said, I bet they're wishing they killed Marcos last season now.
Yeah, because they're stuck with him, right? Yeah. Philip probably live because we'll get some like mother son kind of thing probably. I don't know. Possible that he doesn't, but I bet he does.
I mean, obviously, I'm you know, we got a ways to go. I don't know how many episodes there are this season, but and I, you know, after just watching the first episode, I really believe it's going to come down to Naomi. Naomi may have to put her own son down.
Be a very difficult and horrible thing to see, and yet it might be a really interesting thing to see, right? Like, her son is, I mean, as you said, and you said it very well, he's not Naomi's son. He's Marco's son. And he's a clear terrorist at a very young age, and could he be turned around? And I think you're right. Like, what does Naomi do? Like, is the best thing she can do for humanity and even for her son is to put an end to that. And that's really interesting. I mean, we'd hate to see that. I mean, that'd be hard for a show to go for. It's already been written in the book. Like, whatever happens, I haven't read the book, but whatever happens is going to happen. Right? So we'll see about that.
Yep. And that's going to be interesting to see what they do with Alex because, you know, with him still being in the book, as far as I understand.
Yeah, I assume he's still in the book, yeah. But he's not going to. And the show has one more season to go, right? They're going to be renewed for next. So, yeah, he's definitely not in it. Yeah, I don't know if they'll kill him or just send him off into the sunset. Maybe
yeah.
The sunset. Most characters get killed. The sunset might be nice for a change. We'll have to wait and see.
So, all right.
So, all right. So next week, you want to do two? And we'll catch up.
We'll do episodes 2 and 3 for next week. And that way we're caught up the following week.
We'll do 4 and 5 the next week. And then, no, we'll just need.
Great talking to you as always. Enjoy your holiday. Everybody
yes,
out there in podcast land, enjoy your holiday too. And
we will be back between
Christmas
and New Year's. Right? Yeah, we'll be here next week. We are not taking the week off, so we'll be off. Yep, no holidays for us. We're a hard-working podcast.
No, you know,
right?
Well, it's funny, you know, our transition, like everybody else, you know, with everything else with TV, it's funny because we used to actually – I remember a couple of years ago, we didn't do a podcast until like we stopped like right before Thanksgiving and then didn't do anything again until January because there was nothing on. But in this new world
right.
we live in, there's always something on.
All right, and we'll cover it.
Yep.
All right, listen, you have a Merry Christmas, and we will all get back next week. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Good night.
Bye.